Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Mages and Masquerades by Katarina Martinez and Tansy Morgan. Narrated by Rachel DeLude. Chapter 1. I had 10 seconds to reach the other side of the alley and take the corner, or a demon was going to kill someone. How did I know that? Because the someone was Ivy. And while she was a capable shade, sometimes their magic just didn't work to trick a demon's infernal eyes. He had seen her, and when he saw her, he had known she'd been watching him, tracking him. Maybe he'd even known how long she'd been tailing him for. Now he was following her, and I knew, as soon as he got to her, he would kill her, slicing her skin open and pulling her insides out as easily as a human draws breath. Push, Haley, push. My heart thrashed against my chest like an animal trying to pound its way out of my ribcage. My hands were pumping at my sides, my legs propelling me across the asphalt floor so fast I was almost flying, lungs burning from the massive distance I just had to cross. 3 blocks in less than 60 seconds was no joke, especially when you had to avoid people and cars, and do your best to stave off the growing feeling in your belly that you'd miscalculated, and that Ivy's body had already been pulled open at the hands of a vicious, angry demon. I counted down from 8 in my head, giving me 2 seconds to spare as I ran, at the same time drawing the business end of my knife along the top of my forearm. The sensation was cold at first, as the razor-sharp edge of the blade split a perfect seam along my skin. I winced at the sensation, doing my best not to let it slow me down. I had done this 100 times, but it never got any easier or any more pleasant. A steadily blossoming flower of pain opened, and I had to fight the sickly feeling as blood began to spill from the wound, quickly coating my arm and dripping to my hands from the motion of running. But I could feel it now, magic, rushing through me and around me more freely, aided by the power of my sacrifice, of my self-inflicted injuries. I ran the side of the blade along my arm, making sure to smear as much of the blood as I could onto its face, and just as I rounded the corner, reaching the number 3 on my countdown, I saw them. The knife in my hand started to glow red as my psychic will, my invisible hand, enveloped it. Then I released it into the sky until it moved above the tops of streetlights, where their radiance couldn't touch it, where it disappeared, and where I could forget about it, at least for now. "Hey, asshole!" I yelled across the street. The demon stopped and turned to look at me. He was a smooth-looking cat in an Armani suit, Italian loafers, and was sporting a haircut that probably cost more than a month's rent where I used to live. Demons were all like that, all expensive clothes, impeccable physiques, charming facades to hide the rot inside. Demons were so damn good-looking. It was a distraction at the best of times, but warlocks had a way to see through that. Even from the distance, from all the way across the other side of the street, I could sense his incredible, cruel, deadly intelligence. This was a creature that had more brain power than 5, 10, maybe even 50 people. 5,000 IQ points of calculating, cold logic backed up by the ability to see into the near future, and a capacity for brutality that would make even the worst possible human being seem almost redeemable. Almost. Ivy was walking ahead of him, maybe 10 feet of distance between them. Her magical invisibility dropped. Vulnerable was the word that came to mind.
"What did you say to me?"
he asked, pointing at his chest and glowering at me like I'd spat all over his suede shoes. "You need me to speak up, Grandpa?"
"Grandpa? Do I look old to you, you little bitch?"
I could see Ivy continuing to walk, creating a bigger gap between the two of them, one I didn't think he would be able to cross now, not without me having ample time to intercept.
"What you look like is the most pretentious piece of